Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Thank you everyone for joining. We can do a quick board introduction as we typically do. Katie Stevens, Architecture Board Chair. Bill?
I'm Bill Chapman. I think I'm an architectural historian, I think they say. So nice Thanks. To see everybody. Familiar Thanks. Faces out there.
Thanks, Bill. Pat? You're on mute, Pat.
Pat Griffin, historian.
Thanks, Pat. And Matt?
Matt McDermott, archaeology.
Thank you, Matt. Alton?
Alton Okinaka, sociologist.
Thanks. And Paul Morgan?
Paul Morgan, architecture. And sorry, my link didn't work. So thank you, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Paul. We all had that same problem. We got a new link from Chanda. Okay, so first on the agenda, we wanted to discuss an issue that there was with posting the Friday agenda, which didn't happen. Maybe Dr. Downey, you could sort of brief us on that.
Sure. So we're not exactly sure how this happened. However, when we sent the meeting agenda announcement and agenda to Lieutenant Governor's office, they posted the meeting announcement, but they did not post the agenda. And that would mean trying to meet tomorrow would be a violation of the Sunshine Law. We will not be able to address those, we'll not be able to meet tomorrow. I don't know if you want me to talk more about that, Katie, or do you want to handle the rest?
Sure, I can speak to it. And so we had sort of discussed what we might do is, so we can't have the meeting tomorrow. So what we proposed is to move the three residents nominations from Friday, which is Osorio residents, the Repun residents, and the Kille Avenue residents, and move them to our Thursday meeting. And then the other two properties would be deferred to the next meeting in November. Dr. Downer, maybe you can sort of explain the reasoning again. It was just
I'm sorry. Apologies. You done, Katie?
Yes, thanks. Okay.
So Sunshine Law does allow boards to add items to an agenda that have not been posted on the governor's website, the state website. It requires a two-thirds vote of the membership, and that's of all the members, whether all of the positions, whether they're filled or not, and it is a requirement that the item being added to the agenda not affect a lot of individuals. So when Katie and I were talking, my feeling is that since we're talking about individual residences, that who is affected by that is the property owner. And so I don't think that we need to worry about whether or not this is sort of has a broad impact. So I believe that it is legitimate under the Sunshine Law to do this. It does require a two-thirds vote, which would mean that five members would have to vote yes to to add these residences to the agenda. The alternative is so there are two alternatives. One is to leave it till the next meeting, or to try to scramble around and get a meeting next Friday. We can still get an agenda to the Lieutenant Governor. I believe the cutoff is 2:30 this afternoon, so it would be a scramble, but it could be done.
So I think the other concern might be that the nominators of those properties would be ready to present today.
Yeah, I I don't know. Have we heard back from everybody? Chandra?
I think we have, so we would have two from Don Hibbard and one from Mason Architects.
Right. And Angie was on earlier.
She's here.
Yeah, so I don't know, don't see Don. So that's sort of where we stand. Chandra, are you on still? Julia, are you there? Oh, goodness, technology is wonderful.
And well, Angie's here, so maybe we can go ahead and ask her if she would be available to speak on the House of Kiele Avenue.
So what is the question about Kiele?
Yeah, that we would add it to the agenda for today. And it
yes,
would not...
that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I was already planning on it.
So maybe Chandra, you can, is it Julia or Chandra? No, Julia's on. So we would probably need a confirmation from Don that he was able to move the two residences from Friday to today.
I don't know if you saw the chat. It said Chandra had to step away for a minute and Julia's having audio issues.
Okay, so I just got a text from Chandra. She said that Don will be available today.
Okay. Well, that solves that problem. So I think that we would need to have a motion to modify our agenda to add the three residential nominations from Friday onto Thursday and to defer the other two nominations, which is the Employers Council and the Merchant Street and Civic Historic District to the next meeting.
Okay, I can make that motion. I move that we add to today's agenda the Osorio residents, the Rapun residents, and the 3035 Kiele Avenue, and we defer the nominations of Merchant Street and the Hawaii Employers Council until the subsequent meeting.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, let's take a vote, please. All in favor, hand up. Okay, looks like it's unanimous. Great. Another item is I think that today we probably need to vote to add a or to designate someone as the vice chair. We don't currently have one. And so I wondered if we can add that to the agenda. We could do that after the nominations, if that's a good time. Just need to have someone make a motion to add that to the agenda.
I move that we add to the agenda, today's agenda, the voting on a vice chair for the
Board.
Historic Places Review Board.
Thank you, Matt.
I second.
Thanks, Pat. All in favor? Okay, unanimous. And then I think we also need to make a motion to add discussion and time for someone to make a motion for a limited meeting for the November meeting.
I move that we add to the agenda, we include time and effort to add a motion for the limited meeting for the next upcoming board meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
I have a question about that one. Yes. We were not going to have a limited meeting today because there seemed to be so much duplication between the tours, video tours. So unless we are pretty sure we'll be able to meet in November. Is this just prophylactic in case we can, or does it not make sense at this point?
I think that if we want to have, and if there's any reason for us to have one, which is kind of unforeseen right now, what the situation will be, that we need to vote to have one available. So if we have one available and we decide to cancel it, we could do that. Is this correct, Dr. Donner?
Yes, that's right. And the board has to have passed a motion requesting the approval of a limited meeting, because this is not something the board or SHPD can do on its own. We have to get the director of OIP to agree to it. So without that motion in hand, we can't go to OIP and request it. So, in your terms, Pat, it's a prophylactic motion.
And there aren't so many nominations for November that we would want to split over 2 days again?
I don't know off the top. I don't think we have very many. I mean, as you know, the cycle runs. This is always the busiest meeting because of the deadlines for the tax, the real estate tax abatement. So, we have two, depending on how many the board defers from this meeting, we have two sort of in hand. I'm sorry, Chen says five right now. So we have five plus the, I don't know, does that whether that includes the two that you just deferred because of the administrative problem. No, that includes the two. yeah, technology is great. Yeah, so we have a total of five right now. We may get a couple, we would expect to get several more, but not a deluge like we did for this meeting.
So Pat, we can vote to have the meeting, and then we can always decide not to have it. But if we don't at least vote now, then it's not available to us.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Okay, so sorry, can we vote all in favor? Okay, unanimous. Okay, thank you. And I think I also need to just state that we can't use the chat officially as part of the discussion. I guess if somebody was having terrible audio problems, you could, send something in the chat, and then somebody like myself could read it out loud and would be part of the minutes. That's work, Dr. Donner?
Yeah, that works. But I mean, we are unable to capture the chat, and anything that goes on in this meeting, we have to be able to capture for the official public record. Unless, as Katie says, if you're having terrible audio problems, you can use it for that purpose, but it's, understand that unless somebody reads it into the record, it's going to be lost.
Okay, thank you.
This is Julia. I have audio now.
Okay. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you. And I see that Don is also connected, so I just wanted to make sure he know that we are moving the Raccoon residents and the Osorio residents from the tomorrow's agenda to today. Can you confirm that you got that, Don?
Yes, I got that. I know everything's today.
Great.
And I assume there'll be number 9 and 10 on the agenda.
Yeah, I think we're just adding those two.
To the end, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your flexibility, Don. Appreciate it.
Not a problem.
And thanks, Angie, also for yours.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, then can we have a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
I move that we approve the agenda as amended.
A second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Paul. All in favor? Okay, looks unanimous. Okay, thank you. And then the minutes from the limited meeting on June 3rd. Does anybody have any comments or revisions? Okay, can I hear a motion to approve the minutes from the June 3rd meeting?
I move we approve the minutes of the June 3rd meeting.
Thank you, Pat.
Seconded.
Thank you, Matt. All in favor? Okay, unanimous approval of the minutes from June 3rd, and then the minutes from June 4th.
I have a correction. Pat Griffin should be added to the members in attendance.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Anything else? Okay, motion to approve the minutes as amended.
I move we approve the meeting minutes from June 4th as amended.
Thank you, Paul.
Seconded.
Thank you, Matt. All in favor? Okay, thank you. Unanimous. And then we can move into our nominations. First one is 2740 Oahu Residence. That's Lorraine.
First of all, I'd like to thank the board for this opportunity and to request a couple minutes to briefly preface the presentation by Lorraine. My name is Lynn Fujioka, and this is my husband, Ranald.
Good morning.
Morning. And we represent the third generation owners of this property, and our son, Adam, will be the fourth. So I'd like to share with you why we are so deeply connected to this property. About 100 years ago, my grandfather came over from Japan. His name was Paul Tichigoroseki. He came as a plantation worker. And through just sheer hard work, initiative, and vision, he started a dry cleaning business, which enabled him to actually purchase this property in cash, and as well as send his two of his three children to a private school and send them all on to college, with allowing my father, even his eldest son, to complete his graduate degree at Columbia University in New York. So as time passed, as a dutiful Japanese son, my father accepted the role of caring for my grandparents. So subsequently, my sister and I were raised here and grew up here and lived here throughout our childhood, all the way up to when we left for college. So fast forward, Ranald and I began living on the property as of 1980, and we assumed the role for caring for my parents and maintaining the property. So other than a small addition that was added back in the 50s to accommodate my parents, the house has not been significantly altered. Its view from the street is virtually the same as it was back, as far as I can remember, and I'm 66 years old. It embraces the community's distinctive architectural style, of course, but and of course that's of primary concern to this review, but the house represents so much more to me. It holds precious memories for me and our entire family. So we hope you will consider our home worthy of listing. Your concurrence will honor my grandfather and the legacy he left behind. So I thank you for this couple minutes of your time. And I would now like to introduce Lorraine Minato Ishii of Minato Ishii Architects, and she will walk you through our petition. Thank you.
Hello, hi, good morning. Thank you very much for letting us prepare and present this nomination form and our presentation. I'm going to be sharing everyone. My screen.
Welcome to our weekly get together today. Getting on board.
Is it?
Keep it Virginia. Fairly quick today, but I'll wait just another minute or so.
Virginia, can you mute, please?
Okay, so am I allowed to share my screen? Okay, great. Okay. So this property is 2740 Oahu Avenue. It's located at the corner of Oahu Avenue and Cooper Road. It was built in 1931. It's a one-story craftsman-style bungalow with a rectangular plan, hip roof, and front porch, characterized by the lava rock perimeter walls, splayed columns, and curved stair walls. The history of it is that it was part of a subdivision called Pu'u Pu'eo, which means owl's nest, and it was part of a larger residence of Henry J. Cooper, who was a judge, and then it was very nearby. The Cooper residence actually was nearby the terminus of the Honolulu Rapid Transit Company trolley line. Architecturally, this house is of high artistic value and is one of the few intact examples of homes built with a high level of craftsmanship of the late 19th and 20th century American movement craftsman bungalow style. So that's under criterion C. And then today the house is in very good condition, has a high level of integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association. So the house was purchased by Kichigoro Seki, the grandfather of Lynn Fujioka, in the 1940s, and are still the present owners of the residence. Here is the USGS tax map or map. Here is the street, Oahu Avenue. You'll see the property here, and here's Cooper Road. So the history of the residence reflects the patterns of settlement and chronicles the saga of development in Honolulu. As well, it was right part of the residence of Henry J. Cooper, which was later subdivided in late 1920s. This is the floor plan. The house is not built to be an extravagant display of wealth or stature, but it was a quiet bungalow house at the corner of the street, set back from the road substantially, and is an area of 1,600 square feet, has three bedrooms, two bathrooms. The front porch, of course, is one of the main character defining features of the house, but it does have kitchen, dining, living, and then three bedrooms in the back. This back addition was added in the late 1950s, early 60s era. Again, this is the site plan. We've indicated the major trees on the site, and here is the garage. I think the last time this was presented, the garage was not discussed, so we did add that to the nomination form, and we also created discussion of the landscape as well. This is the front elevation, symmetrical design, and it's five bays along the front elevation. The character defining lava rock walls with displayed walls at the entry for the entry stair here. Here you see craftsman bungalow style, large overhanging eaves, 41 inches from the wall to the edge of the eave. So it's a very deep eave. And then the dormers above. Here's the front porch. Side elevation, Makai side elevation. This is the Mauka side elevation showing the jut out of the walls here at the bedrooms. It's a post and pier foundation, and the slightly splayed porch piers in some areas. This is starting the rear of the house, which is that 1960s bedroom addition. Here has a slightly different kind of foundation and exterior wall material as well, but also typical of the 1960s, the tongue and groove and sliding glass windows. The interiors also very intact. This is has classical moldings on the ceilings and fine craftsmanship throughout with the wainscot molding as well as the window framing and door framing. Double hung windows are all intact. Front entry door and some views of the interior. Here is the garage, which is located at the southeast corner of the lot. Has the shiplap siding on the exterior, on the interior, see the stud wall framing and the horizontal T and G. This was actually constructed a little bit later on in the 50s. But 20 by 20, a 1-12 slope roof. And in the rear is a small storage area. Also, we have landscaping. So there are indigenous plantings and rock formations. And so there are tea leaves, as well as bromeliads, shrubs, ulu. And here are some of the rock formations. Here's the different types of plantings. They're outlined in the report as well. Mango trees, money trees, etc. And it's in good condition, has a high level of integrity. And I thank you very much for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
I had one question, Lorraine. Your period of significance you've listed as 1931 to 1953. It's a significant date. The date of construction was 1931, and the addition of the second house is in 1953. But if you look at section 7, page 7, the last bullet, it says that. Sorry, we're getting a lot of feedback. It says that after the property was purchased in 1946, that there was a maid's quarters there and this was expanded. So it seems like that structure was already there, which is expanded. And so I don't see that the 1953 date is significant as the date it was constructed. Sorry, I wonder if everybody can.
I think that we.
Yes.
But I, if you are not, if you're not speaking, could you please mute your speaker? Because we've got a couple people. That's where the feedback is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I see Libby. Could you mute your speaker, please? Thank you. Okay. Sorry.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, that was distracting. So I don't see the 1953 as the actual the addition of the second house because it was constructed earlier. It was just expanded, but also the structure in the rear is now considered non-contributing. So I don't know that it should be included in the period of significance. I would rather see it be the construction of the house and maybe the construction of the garage, since both of those are contributing.
Right. I think we stopped it in 53 because we actually didn't intend on including the rear house. Not sure exact month it was constructed, but I need to find out what exact year the garage, we were also trying to capture the garage in this nomination form, which I think was constructed in 1953. So I think that's how that 53 year came about. So the maid's quarters was expanded and the garage was constructed at the same time. Since then, the rear house has been modified over time. So we didn't want to include that as part of our contributing resources. But we did want to include the garage.
Yeah. So maybe it would be better for significant dates to say that 53 is the construction of the garage. Because I just don't see that including part of the significance of, you know, part of the property that's not contributing. At least that's how I look at it. So maybe the significant date could, instead of addition of second house, it could refer to construction of garage. And maybe it could just confirm if that was 1953.
Yes, we can just say the second house, apartment, and garage was constructed behind, or, you know, was constructed in 1953.
But the second house, what it was expanded, like it was already there as a maid's quarters, and it was expanded, so it wasn't actually constructed at that date. So I would personally just leave out the second house as part of this significance period.
Oh, right. I mean, I think that we're just talking about modifications over time at the top of page 7. Mm-hmm. It says the house was built in 31. It had a small maid's quarters. And then that apartment was, yeah, we'll say it was expanded. And a garage was built in 53.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like I was saying, the last bullet on that same page says that when it was purchased in 1946, there was a maid's quarters there and he expanded it. So it, that became mm-hmm. what the structure in the back now is.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But since that whole structure now is not contributing, then I personally wouldn't include it in part of the
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we'll just take it out then. Okay. Yeah. So the garage was built in 53. Okay.
Yeah. So just say construction of garage. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Just along those similar lines, the on page 4 at the bottom, the summary paragraph, it's got a sentence that talks about the a non-contributing two-car garage built in the 1960s. Maybe just want to correct that.
Oh, I see. We didn't. Okay. So we'll just take out non-contributing there. We didn't catch that one.
And maybe just not 1960s, but 1953, right?
In 53. Mm-hmm.
Or if you find that it was in the 60s, then, you know, correct the other date to say 60s. Whichever is mm-hmm. the correct date for the garage. Mm-hmm.
And just one other thing I noticed, at least on my copy, on the first page, when it talks about the applicable criteria, just the A box is checked, but then further in the nomination, you're talking about A and C. So just want to check that second box.
Right, right. I think when I did notice that yesterday, but I think when the keeper sign or the signature of the certifying official, they can check that time. Okay. But yeah, I did notice that.
Any other questions or edits? Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Is this going to the state at this point? Is there a desire for it to move on to the National Register?
I'm not quite sure about that, but maybe we can at least make the motion, and then if the owners don't decide to put it on the National Register, you know, at least they have that flexibility to do so. That'd be great.
Okay, any other questions or comments for Lorraine? Okay, would anybody like to make a motion?
I move that this property be added to the State Register of Historic Places once the corrections have been made, with the ability to submit it to National with the owner's interest.
Seconded.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Okay. It looks like it's unanimous. So Lorraine, once you send an edited version to Chandra, then Chandra, could you please send out the edited copy to us so we all have the final edited version?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we can move on to the Colonel C.S. and Berlinda Ku'ule Merrick residence. And I know that the nominator, Stuart Steele, is not able to be here today because he had to work. He did send Chandra some photographs that she could share just to sort of remind us of what this property is like since it was a few months ago.
She is sharing right now. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Chandra. He also, Mr. Steele included with his nomination a list of the things that he edited from the last version. So I just wanted to see if anybody noted that there was anything that he missed or had any concerns with those changes. Okay. Would anybody like to make a motion?
I move that we list the Merrick residents on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places. Criterion, was it C?
I believe it's C.
Yeah. With the option to move it on to the National Register with the owner's approval.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Do we have a second?
Second.
All seconds. Okay. All in favor? Please raise your hand. Looks like we have unanimous. So congratulations, Mr. Steele. Next in our agenda is the Lee Robert Yet Wong House. I believe that's Stanley.
Aloha Kako. I'm trying to share my slides now. Can everyone see them?
We can see it.
Okay, great, thank you. Aloha kako. For this agenda item, I am representing myself as well as property owners Van Vu, a member of the nursing program faculty at UH Maui College, and her husband Hoi Vu. The Robert Lee Ayet Wong House is being nominated to the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under criteria A and C. The nomination has been prepared to recognize the significance of a property that is a notable example of a minimal traditionalist style dwelling that was built for and occupied by two prominent Asian physicians in the Sand Hills section of Wailuku. I'm going to apologize for the quality of some of the photographs. The side facades on the north and south and the front facade on the east are clearly visible. But the rear facade on the west or upper right hand of the slide is obscured by extensive vegetation. The dwelling is located on an elevated site in Wailuku, is oriented northwest to southeast, overlooks Kahului, and because of its location and site topography, takes advantage of a near constant breeze that maintains a moderate temperature inside the dwelling. The Robert Lee Ayet Wong House is a minimal traditionalist style dwelling that was built in 1934 for a physician and surgeon named Robert Lee. Although it housed multiple owners afterward, it was also the dwelling for family members of another physician and surgeon named Tojiro Tofukuchi, and ultimately was purchased and occupied the longest by physician and surgeon. I have construction outside, so I apologize for the noise. All three physicians played important roles in the development of healthcare in Hawaii during the early to mid 20th century. One was interned, and their siblings or children also included members of the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, who contributed to the success of the post-war period by serving as educators or judges. Of the physicians associated with the house, Dr. Ayat Wong had the longest career on Maui and managed the transition of Malulani Hospital to a senior care facility and the opening of Maui Memorial. This aerial photograph of Wailuku, taken in 1954, shows the locations of A, which is the left-hand arrow, the Robert Lee Ayat Wong House, B, the right-hand arrow, the former Malulani Hospital, and C, the lower left arrow, the newly opened Maui Memorial Hospital. The careers of both Robert Lee and Ayat Wong illustrate the racism confronted by Hawaii-born Chinese during the height of exclusion. Dr. Wong's use of his formal name of Wong Gun Yet and his familiar name of Ayat Wong caused the research to be especially challenging, and two individuals were actually tracked until his photo was found in the 1941 yearbook of the Tulane Medical School and substantiated by another photo of him taken in the newly opened Maui Memorial Hospital in 1952. So that's a shot from the Tulane yearbook, and then a shot of him, I think he's in the radiology lab. The house sits on a 0.26 acre parcel. The perimeter is partially enclosed by lava rock walls that appear to have been built in the 1930s. And there is a non-contributing wood shed at the rear of the property. The first floor plan maintains original partition walls and exterior walls, but includes updated floor finishes and bathroom fixtures. The second floor plan is intact and maintains original finishes, except for the kitchen and bathroom that again feature updated fixtures, floor finishes, and appliances. The original stair hall has been maintained with the exception of a few wood floorboards that needed replacement. Other original features include staircases with railings, newel posts and balusters, as well as casework, decorative moldings, baseboards, shoe molds, and cornices. The third floor plan is also intact, except for the bathrooms, which again include updated fixtures and floor finishes. The upper left photo is a period built-in wood cabinet from the second floor, but the remaining photos are taken from the stair hall, that show original staircase with railings, newel posts, and balusters. Please let me know if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Stanley. Really appreciate the thorough nomination form.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions or comments for Stanley?
I just like to repeat what Matt said. Stanley, it was a pleasure reading this. It's a really wonderfully well put together background and history and description, and compliment you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, anybody like to make a motion? Stanley, can you unshare?
Okay. How to do that.
I make a motion that we list the Robert Lee Ayet Wong House on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under criteria A and C, with the option to pass it on to the National Register with the owner's approval.
I'll second that. Oops, sorry.
Okay, Stanley, it should be at the top. It should be a very good.
Thank you. Sorry okay. about that.
Okay, we have a motion that's been seconded. All in favor? Raise your hand. 2, 3, 4, 6. Looks like all in favor. Okay, thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, next one is the Alan W. and E. Vivian Smith residence. That's Don Hibbert.
Don, you're on mute.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you, but we can't see your presentation anymore.
Now you can, or maybe. Okay, see it now?
Looks like it's still loading.
Oh.
Okay, we can see it now.
Oh, okay, good. So the Alan and Vivian Smith residence is at 433 and 4335 Royal Circle. Okay. The residence being nominated at the local level under criterion C is a good example of a 1930s Tudor Revival style house in Honolulu. In addition, that will be added to the Honolulu Tudor French Norman Cottages multiple property nomination. I'd just like to say that the houses I have today, I found amazing, good coincidences. Some of my favorite houses in Honolulu, the owners called and asked to be registered. This is one I've had my eye on for many years. And earlier, the owners didn't want to be registered, and now the present owners did. So that was very good. It was built in 1931. The architect is John Alvin Schattinger, and it's done in a Tudor Revival style. Schattinger designed this house for his daughter, Mrs. Smith. There's two houses on the property. Where did my pointer go? Okay. You have the front main house, and then behind there's a cottage. The main house is 1.5 stories, 2 stories high, with sitting on a raised foundation. The bottom here, the raised foundation, is the garage. Here's the main body of the house. Then up here is a bedroom. The house is typical of the Tudor Revival with its steep gable roofs. It's very interesting. The battens are very wide, extraordinarily wide. And then down here, the horizontal lap siding is a wavy lap siding. This is the entry porch. And here, this is essentially a mock balcony. There's no depth at all. These doors just open up and the railings there so you don't fall out of the living room. The house is two stories here in the front, and then it follows the terrain, and then the back is one story. And essentially, this is the kitchen wing. The dining room is here. Here's another view of that. You can see the living room is over here, dining room, entry into a little foyer, the kitchen over here. Here you can see the floor plan. Essentially, go in here is a kitchen. There's a hallway that then services the two bedrooms downstairs and a bath, and the living room over here. And off the back was an original deck that's been rebuilt. Here you can see from the driveway, the garage is underneath the house. The house is extraordinarily well intact. Here you can see the wide battens very well. The garage door with diamond pane windows, which is typical of Tudor Revival style. And you can see it still has the original mechanism where essentially it rolls around the side to open, and they're still using it. The garage ceiling is essentially the floor joist. And you can see the bracing in between the joists. On the one wall, you have lava rock underneath, and then have all this lattice doors, which lead into storage area, which is not improved. And at the other end of the garage, they have their laundry and a door that goes out the side. All the original four pane sliding windows are here. And the stairs, they start off concrete and then they turn to wood, go up to the main body of the house. But we won't go into the house that way today. We'll go in the front door. The front door again has a little diamond pane window. The original knob is still there, and it's a Dutch door. You enter into the living room. They have this tile floor right here to form a little foyer entryway. Here you can see the double doors that lead out to the mock balcony. All this has original hardware as well. Here's a longer view of that. And then from the doorway, you look into the living room itself. The living room has stairway going up to the second floor. This round archway leads into the dining room. This round arch leads into the-
Sally. Thank you.
Excuse me, somebody say something? Oh, okay. This round arch leads into the bedrooms. The floor is oak throughout on the first floor. You also have these exposed beams with little modillions holding it to accent the ceiling. Here's the stairway that runs up, a very simple balustrade. View from the stairway looking the other way. This is the box bay window that projects over the garage entryway. Again, 6/1 double hungs, which throughout the house they have. And another view which shows the window on the side looking out to the courtyard and the kitchen. The dining room is also intact. Here you can see looking in towards the living room, and it also has a similar ceiling motif, oak floors again. And over here in the corner is a built-in china cabinet, which has its original glass knob. Here's a longer view of the dining room, the living room beyond. And this is taken from the foyer where you first enter the house. From the foyer, one way was looking towards the dining room. The other way looks down a hall, which leads out to a door that leads outside. It's original with 15 panes. This door over here is the door that goes down to the garage. This is a closet door, and at the end there's a bathroom, which has been remodeled. Right above the foyer is an original light fixture. And I found it interesting. These are found in the house, and it's also found in the little cottage, which surprised me that they're in both. Here's the kitchen. The kitchen has essentially been totally remodeled. However, it does retain its double hung sash windows and its original door that leads out to a deck, which has been rebuilt in a more contemporary style. This has a shed roof with corrugated roofing. I don't think this detracts at all from the home. It's not viewed from the street at all. The steps on this side lead down to a backyard. There's also steps on this side, which lead down to a cascading set of steps, which goes to the front yard. Here's the door from the garage out. Going back upstairs, actually through this door to the bedroom wing, or not door, opening. Here's that round arch opening. There's a lateral running hallway. This is taken from one bedroom. There's a bathroom here and another bedroom here. This is the bathroom at the end of the hall. Here's the front bedroom. It has its original windows, ceiling. All the doors on the first floor are original with the single panel doors with the original hardware and knobs. This door leads into the bathroom. The bathroom has a similar tile floor as right by the entryway. It's been remodeled, but it still has its original hopper window, or rather awning window. This is this other bedroom, which has a box bay, which I thought was rather nice. They stuck the child's bed in the box bay window. And again, this also has all its original windows. And this room has a TNG on the inside to finish the walls. Here are the stairs going up to the second floor. The second floor has all fir floors, which is common. And here you can see a closet at the top of the stairs. A small slide, no, it's an awning window, another one of those light fixtures. And at the end of the hall is a bedroom, again, with a single panel door. A second door in the bedroom opens on probably the largest walk-in closet you'll ever see in your life. It essentially runs the length of the house. And here is that bedroom. Here's the bay window that you see from the front. This room has built-in chest of drawers and also a built-in desk. Here you can see the drawers and the desk. From the other direction, here's the hall going out. You have a bathroom up here as well as a closet with a mirror. Again, the closet has its original. I think the bathroom does not anymore. And the bathroom has been reworked. Also on the property is a cottage behind it. And again, it's rendered in a Tudor style, single wall, TNG. You can see the external girt, sliding windows, all original, dormers on either side. Here you can see the side dormer. And again, original windows here, 2/2, double hung. And here's the rear of the house. And again, has all the original windows, half timbering on in the gables as well. Here's the front of the house, the sliding windows. This pergola, there was a pergola and then they rebuilt it because it was in bad condition. You can see the double hung window on the other side of the front entry. And again, its front entry door is all intact. Very much in the Tudor spirit. And it opens up onto a living room, which runs the depth of the house. There's a sitting room over here, a bathroom here, and a kitchen at the end, then stairs that lead to the second floor. Here's the view looking the other way towards the entrance. And again, you can see the ceiling lights are those same original fixtures. In the sitting room, they have a more fancy chandelier, your two sets of sliding windows done with horizontal panes, very much 30s style. And it has built-in bookshelf and storage cabinets underneath. There's the chandelier in that room. The bathroom's been remodeled, but it still has its original door and hardware. The kitchen was probably redone in the 50s, or I think it had, here's its back door, which is original, a 5-panel door, 4-over-1 window. The cabinets, I think, are from the, maybe they're earlier. I think this looks like it's all 30s. And I think the cabinets below are 30s too. Going up the stairs, another sconce in the same kind of style for the light fixtures. And then you have a large bedroom. There's a bathroom on this side, which is in one gable or in one dormer. And in the other dormer, there's a window. Here's the bathroom, which has also been reworked, but has still its original door and knobs. So that's the house. The architect, Schattinger, was born in Gardenville, Pennsylvania, and grew up in Abilene, Kansas. He was quite a prolific architect in Hawaii. He came to Hawaii with his wife, and actually Edith was born, his daughter, in the mainland. They came to Hawaii in 1914, where he worked for the Lighthouse Service as chief clerk and dispersing officer. In 1922, he began designing houses in Hawaii. And over the course of his 30-year career, it's estimated he designed over $2 million worth of housing, most of it costing less than $5,000 to build. So very prolific. I don't have any pictures of him. When I first started working for the state, I tried to chase him down, and his daughter, Edith, who lived in this house, was still alive, but had moved to California, and I finally got an address for her, but she never answered any of my letters. So I have very little information beyond this. This is his own home, which he built in 1931. It's on the register as part of the, and this is at Kahala Avenue in Hunakai. And again, very much one of my favorite Tudor revival. He also built this home for his daughter in 1930, which is on Vista Place. And this house no longer exists. But again, you can see he uses a Tudor style. A lot of his homes are in the Tudor style. He also, in this case, he was working at that time in the building department of Lures and Cook. He also independently would buy lots and build houses on them. Here's another home he built in 31, the same time as the house we were just, you know, the subject house. This one's on Manoa Avenue. And 1931, the Depression was starting to hit. Right away, they're talking about construction, men and money, and at work. And that house still stands and looks like this. You can see very much a Tudor massing, but not half timbering. He also, in 1931, built this house for Dr. Wason. This is on Alani Place. Unfortunately, this part of Alani Place has been closed for construction, so I haven't been able to go down and see if the house is still there. So the house, I think, again, a very good example of Tudor Revival style architecture and sort of a fantasy mode, and very worthy of registration. So it's being nominated to both registers at the local level under Criterion C. Any questions?
Don, thank you very much. It's really interesting to follow a career of a person like this. And as usual, it's really well written and interesting to follow. Quick question. Were you at all tempted to call it an oriel window? Were you tempted to call it an oriel window?
I could, but I don't know. It's possible, yeah, because it's not supported below. Yeah, I can change that. That's easy. Usually I associate oriel windows with stairways.
Just put it in parentheses if you wanted to, right?
Okay.
After you mentioned the projecting bay window, you say, yes. You could say yes. Oriel.
Yeah.
I have to stick, you know, I'm the architectural historian here.
Oh, now. Yes, yes.
I gotta be a pedant.
Thanks, Bill. Don, I was wondering, you mentioned about adding it to the Tudor thematic group. How does that happen?
It just automatically dropped because the thematic group, it's already been written the cover, you know, multiple property nomination. And so it'll just added as one more house in that. Usually when Chandra does the list for the Hawaii, you know, for the state, she has Tudor, you know, thematic, and then she lists all the houses that are in that.
So it just gets amended to add in houses, yeah, as they become nominated. Yes. Is there, yes, also a national Tudor,
yes, thematic? Yes, it is a national.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, we have several other multiple properties. I did one a number of years ago for the fire stations on Oahu, which someday we would probably have to revise it. College Hills has a multiple property nomination as well. There's also actually sometime we probably should do some house cleaning. Lorraine, a number of years ago, wrote one for Japanese temples, Buddhist temples in Hawaii, which we at the time the review board was skeptical of doing it because there were no temples nominated. But now we have six or seven that, which could drop into that nomination, so probably should.
Great, thank you. Okay, anybody else have questions or comments for Don? Anybody like to make a motion?
I move that the property be listed in the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under Criterion C and open the possibility for future listing and recommendation or listing in the National Register if the owner so chooses.
Seconded.
Okay, seconded. Oh, Alton, you're back just in time. We just had a motion and a second to put on the register. So I'd like to take a vote, please. All in favor? Looks like that's unanimous. Okay, cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Okay.
And maybe we can take a quick 5-minute break. And
okay. Can I set up a share screen in that time?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So back in 5 minutes at 10:53.
Hey, Smith. Hey, Smith. Oh, okay. Oh, it's already there. Are the other ones still there? Because it looked like there's three Smiths. Huh?
Okay, don't.
Get out. Or maybe have to get out. Then do share. No. No, I missed it. No.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, because it said A. Smith, A. Smith, A. Smith.
It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Each time. Are you
close this.
Mm-hmm.
That's done. Okay.
We don't have one, right? We need one more. What did I have?
No, Pinkerton.
Okay. Pinkerton, right?
Yeah, Withington. Then Osorio. And then Ripon. Okay.
We need good. One more, right?
Johnson.
Okay, we need to pick.
Go get it again.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, this one?
No, Johnson.
Johnson, okay.
Okay, good.
Okay, good. So, sorry, right? Okay,
no, to the meeting. Oh, right at the meeting.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm muted. No, that's okay. Chair. Johnson. Chair. Slideshow. From beginning. Show presenter view. Okay, good.
Yeah. I think we don't close.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Still waiting for Bill and Alton to come back.
Okay, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Hi, Alton. How about you, Bill Chapman? Well, Don, I think you can go ahead. You can just jump in.
Okay. Okay, the second house is another one of my favorite houses in Honolulu. It's on McKinley Street at the corner of Lanihuli. Every time I go from Manoa Road by Punahou down to UH, I always pass the house and always admired it. So I was very happy again when the owner said, can you register this? It's the John A. and Jean L. Johnson Bungalow. It's at 2209 McKinley Street. And it's significant at the local level under criterion C as a good example of a craftsman bungalow style house built in Honolulu during the second decade of the 20th century. In addition, the house is also significant under criterion A for its associations with the development of Manoa Valley and more specifically College Hills Tract, and should be included in the multiple property nomination for College Hills. It was built in 1912, so it's 109 years old this year. The architect and builder are unknown, and it was done in a craftsman bungalow style. I look at the house and I think how much the quality of life has gone down compared to 1912. This house was built as an investment property, not as the primary residence for the owner. I'll show you the owner's house towards the end of the show. This is the house, very much craftsman bungalow. You have shingle walls, lanai over here, asymmetric massing. The lanai has lava rock walls. You have these barge boards with a king post motif in them, Wyatt windows here in the front. A very nicely done house. It sits on a post and pier foundation, lateral running gable roof, with dormers here and in the rear and also on the side. Here you can see the front entry with the steps going up to the porch. And here you can see the lava rock columns, which are handled quite nicely. I don't know, is Bill back yet? It's sort of an interesting treatment.
Bill is back. Bill's back.
Good. Just in time.
I've been here for your time.
Lava rock columns have a concrete cap, and then it has these wood, and I believe I'm correct in calling them abacus, Bill. If you have a different term for that, I'd like to know what it is. But I very rarely see this at all.
I don't know what you'd call those, Don. I'm kind of looking. I would call the concrete thing an abacus, but.
Oh, okay. So what's the wood above? So.
Well, because the whole thing's an abacus. They're not really part of the. They're not really part of the column in a way, right? They're actually, basically, I would call them maybe blocks or something.
Okay.
Because they, you know, you can see through them, right?
There's two of them, essentially. Right. And then they support the beams that support the roof of the lanai.
They're almost, I hate to say it because it's not really a corbel, but they're like corbel blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't think that would work.
I think they're almost unique.
Yeah, quite different. I've never seen that treatment. And here is the front lanai. The entry is over here. You have two entries to the house. This one goes into a dining room. This one goes into the living room. Again, nicely detailed. You have these cornices above the door frames. Again, you can see the shingle siding very well. And again, to the right of the door is a pair of double hung windows. And again, very well done, very nice design. Here's the front door that goes into, it's used primarily as a front door, and it goes into the dining room. You can see the original door, the original screen window. The door has its original hardware. Very much in a craftsman style, the door. And here is the door, and looking into the dining room. You have stairs leading to the second floor over here. You have a paneled ceiling, oak floors also in this house throughout the first, and the oak floor has a nice parquet running around it. Here's the stairs going up. Again, a very simple rail balustrade and newel post. You have a little storage underneath the stair. And here's looking from the stair down into the dining room. You can go into a breakfast room over here, the living room over here. You have a nice little built-in china cabinet here. Another view of the china cabinet. You can see the living room, very flowing relationship. The breakfast room is here, then there's a bedroom behind the breakfast room. The china cabinet has lead glass windows in it. It still keeps its original glass knobs as well. And here you're looking across the dining room into the living room, then beyond the living room is a study. All these three rooms have oak floors. Here's the living room. It has a box bay window over here with a Wyatt window in it, all double hungs. And here you can see the door that leads into the living room as well. And then beyond the living room is a study. The study has a pocket door with single panels, both sides that close, and has all its original hardware as well. And then here is the study, which again has Wyatt windows on both sides with double hung windows. All the double hung windows in this house have slugs, which I'll show you later. Then from the office, you can go through a back door and you have a very, very small, actually here's the office. You go out this door into a very small hallway. Here's another door to the hall, which is from the living room. A bathroom is here, and this is a very shallow closet. You open it and there's a wall right there. We can't figure out why. Then here's a different view. This is looking from the study or office. The bathroom's over here, then one bedroom, two bedrooms. The bathroom has been remodeled sometime. It still has its single panel door, which is throughout the house with its glass knob, which is again on all the doors. You have your double hung sash windows, and it still retains its medicine cabinet, although it's probably its 50s or 30s fluorescent lighting put on either side of the medicine cabinet. And it has its scored TNG walls still intact. The one bedroom, again, intact. It has its double hung windows, good cross ventilation. And the bedrooms, there's all fir floors. Again, typical. This bedroom has a closet. Again, you can see the original glass knobs on the single panel door. And it has a window in the closet for ventilation. Then this is the second bedroom. Again, this one has sliding windows. And this door goes into a breakfast nook. This is from the door from the hall, and you'll walk through to get to the breakfast nook. Here is the, not nook, actually, it's a breakfast room. It's quite large. I'm not sure what kind of flooring this is. Katie and I couldn't quite figure it out. She thinks it might be a skim coat of concrete, but I'm not sure. Here's the door from the bedroom. Here's the dining room, and here's a door that goes into the living room. And that this room, the ceiling follows the slope of the roof. The original kitchen door is here. And the kitchen has 1950s cabinets here. Again, it's double hung window. Again, scored TNG walls. And also has probably the 1912 cabinets as well. This door goes out to a rear porch. You can see the lattice there. In the other direction, there's a small pantry. And again, this has its original cabinets also, as well as the original windows. And it's blocked now, but there's a door actually from the pantry that goes out into the dining room. Here is the rear porch. And again, it has a three-panel door with a window above, lattice screens above. And that leads down to the backyard. The backyard, or the back of the house, again, you have figure four bracketing. You have, again, lava rock in the foundation. And this, I'm not sure if it was a maid's quarters or just a utility room. Here you can see the slugs on the double hung windows. And again, very much original. They went out sometime right after World War I or at World War I. And here's the door that goes down into this basement space, which is essentially your laundry room now. There is a toilet here. This opening behind this wall is a shower. Here you can see again the five-panel door with its original porcelain knob and a small bathroom of toilet. Going upstairs into the house, here's the newel post at the base of the stairs. Your stairs go up. You have a window in the stairwell, and it makes a left and heads up to the second floor. You have built-in bookcases over here. There's also a built-in linen closet over here as well. The second floor, the roof, the ceiling follows the slope of the roof. And here's looking the other way. It goes down a fairly long hallway, which runs the length of the house. And two doors lead into bedrooms, one bedroom in each dormer. And then at the rear, there's another dormer, which has the bathroom. This is a closet. So you can see here's, this is the dormer that holds the bathroom, one dormer with the bedroom, another dormer, the rear dormer with the bedroom. Here's the front bedroom. Again, you have your double hung sash windows. You also have a small casement window facing Malka. And the second bedroom, and again, original door to the closet as well. Here it is looking out, and again, a Malka casement window. And here's a view looking out. Then you have the bathroom. Here's the door entering in. There's a shower behind it, the toilet. On the other side, there's a little vanity and a built-in chest of drawers. And looking the other way, here's the improvised sink. So that's the house. In addition to being significant for its architecture, it's also significant for its associations with the development of College Hills. The house was built in 1912. It's one of the first 50 houses, Western houses, built in Manoa. If you can look at the map, here's Lanihuli. And here's McKinley. The house is right here. There's a neighboring house here and another bungalow back here. The owner, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, lived in this house here. Johnson built his house in 1905. And then in 1909 and 1911, the Johnsons bought these two lots. And then in 1912, they built these three bungalows. I was lucky, I just found in the newspaper the building permit, but it didn't name an architect or a contractor. Here is the house that Mr. and Mrs. Johnson lived in. Mr. Johnson is a Kama'aina, born in Honolulu in 1873. His father had immigrated from England in 1862. Mr. Johnson worked for C. Brewer for many years, 25 years as a cashier for the company. And then later he quit the company. He started his own automobile dealership. Then he later worked for Bonham Young Automobile Dealership. He was also known very well. He was one of the foremost breeders of hibiscus in Hawaii. And I don't know if they still have it, but just before he died, he donated his entire hibiscus collection to the University of Hawaii. And he did that in memory of all the men that died during World War II from Hawaii. His own son was the executive officer for the 100th Infantry Battalion, and he died in Italy on the push up to invade, capture Rome. Johnson Hall at the university campus is named after his son. In addition, this is his home. This is the house on McKinley next door to the house we're registering. It looks like it's got a different gable configuration. No, not as elaborate. I think the windows have been changed also. You still have the corner lanai with its lava rock post. The house behind the house that we're working on is this one. And again, it's been reworked. Its lanai has been totally enclosed. It still has the lava rock lanai. Again, another bungalow. This bungalow is one of six that are, maybe seven, I can't remember, six that are on the register. Hopefully this will be the seventh. And other that are from the pre-war, World War I period. This is the Krauss residence, which is on the register. It was built in 1913, a year after the one on McKinley Street. It's more typical of many of the bungalows of the period in that it has a hip roof, which was very common at the time. Another house, which is built from 1916, is the Burningham residence, which is also on the register, again with its big hip roof, inset lanai, lava rock. Another one is over on behind the university, the Shields Moor residence. Again, another large bungalow with lava rock here, hip roof. And this one is over on Punch Bowl, which is more typical of the style. We have a hip gablet roof, then a projecting gable, which encloses the porch. A more modest bungalow of the period, which was built in 1914, is also in Manoa. Rather than a gabled, it has a hip roof, and rather than a gabled porch, it has a flat roof porch. In this house, the Bailey residence on East Manoa Road, also a gable with dormers on either side, and again, a flat roof porch. So, and also this is the Walker residence in Manoa, which again, similar to the McKinley house, the Johnson bungalow, in that it has a lateral running gable roof, a porch, and a porte cochere. So those are other examples. And I think this house is a very, very good example of a pre-World War I bungalow. And we're nominating it to both registers at the local level under criteria A and C. And that's it, if you have any questions. How do we get out?
In
slideshow.
I have a quick question, Don. I've always admired this house and the colors of it as well, but do you have any idea if the red was an original color?
Don't know. Yeah, I didn't, you know, so I've never scraped the paint or anything.
Same with I was going to ask about your Tudor cottage. Was that always white or was that somehow colored a different color?
I'm not sure, because I know Chattinger's house on Hunakai, the picture I showed is not the original. Originally, it was brown with white silhouette and the half timbering. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, from the 80s, at least, that Tudor cottage has been that color. The same thing with the McKinley bungalow. As far as I can remember, long as I remember that house, it's always been red.
Yeah, I've seen it for 30 years that way. But by the way, I did a little research, and I think the term that it's a compromise, but I think it's a term that would work because they, as you know, the basalt or the concrete capital, the square part is the abacus, right?
Oh, that's okay.
The table. I would call the things above it impost blocks. That's what I would call them.
Oh, okay. That's a nice idea.
Usually impost blocks are a transition between a capital with its abacus and an arch, but here you don't have an arch. You have another, another.
Well, we have a flat arch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I think an impost block sounds right.
Okay, good. I will make that change. Thank you for doing that research. How did you find
that one? I just looked up capitals, something above a capital.
Oh, okay.
Right to that.
Okay. I'm surprised such a vague search won.
I also wonder too, Don, about you called the wood floor, you called it parquet floor, which I almost wondered if it was more just wood flooring with a decorative border. Because parquet to me sort of implies that the whole floor is in smaller pieces and sections.
Well, I think I said I call it parquet, but I think in the thing I said with parquetry in the description, which I think would be appropriate for the small insets.
Okay, thanks.
I think I was more
precise. Parquetry border, a parquetry border.
I think that's what I wrote, yes.
Okay.
My new role as being the real pedant here. This is, I like this very much. So,
any other questions or comments from Don? Okay. Somebody like to make a motion?
I'll do it. I move that we place the Johnson Bungalow on the State Register of Historic Places under criterions A and C, and recommend it for listing on the National Historic Register if the owner desires.
Thank you, Paul.
They do, apparently. So I'll second that.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Okay, any other discussion or questions in the audience? Okay, I'd like to take a vote then. All in favor, raise your hand. Okay, looks like that's unanimous. Okay, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's it's a lovely house. I was happy to have the opportunity to see it, and also very happy to see that there is an owner who also really appreciates it. So, okay, moving on, Don, you're up for the Pinkerton Beach House.
Yes, give me a second to share screen. Okay, I think I'm ready to go. The third house I have is one I never saw before. It's sort of behind a wall, but it was very much of a pleasure to find it and see it for the first time. This is the Dr. Forrest, Joy, and Marion Pinkerton Beach House, and it's at 922 Mokulua Drive in Lanikai. The house is being nominated at the local level under Criterion C as a good example of a single wall beach house designed during the 1920s in Hawaii. Also, the house is being considered significant under Criterion A for its associations with the development of Lanikai. It was built in 1926, and then part of it was rebuilt in 1946 after the tidal wave took out the Makai wall of the house. The architect for the house was Guy Rothwell of Rothwell, Kangadur, and Lester. And I'm calling it a Hawaii regional style. The house sits on a large parcel that runs from the street all the way to the ocean. This is the house back here. Here's the garage, and here's a recreation room, I guess. This garage was rebuilt in 2000, four, following the same footprint as the original garage and actually the same board and batten construction. Also, this recreation building was constructed in 2003, and so both are non-contributing. And but again, this also replaced a small, different house on the property, a different, I guess, building. The house has a U-shaped pavilion plan. You can see the living room, you can look right through it. There's a lanai that runs around the three sides of the courtyard. There was a pergola here. They had to rebuild it, so it's a new pergola now, but it's not attached to the house in any way, and I feel it's not detrimental at all. And actually, with the Hau trees, is rather picturesque. The lanai walkway serves as a hallway for the house. There are no halls in the house. Here you can see you can come up either side of the lanai to access the front, the house. Here's a second access, and there's another access over here as well. The floor plan is very simple. You have your lanai. Here's a pergola covered patio. So the living room takes up the whole main body of the house.
We're muted.
This wing has a kitchen, a laundry, bath, and bedroom. This wing has a bedroom, bath, bedroom, bath. Off the living room, there's another lanai here. And there's little porches off the living room, which are at the same height as the living room. This lanai is lower. Here's the oceanfront view of the house. This whole side of the house was taken out by the tidal wave. And I got thinking about it because Kikuyo and I were measuring the boards in the house. And I noticed that the boards on the front side of the house, all the battens were dimensional 3 inches, while all the battens on this side are nominal 2.5 inches, which is a nice little physical evidence of the fact that it was reconstructed. Here is the one of the porches, and here's the lanai down below, and you have Naupaka separating the house from the ocean. These columns, the owner was told, were the same style as the original columns, and when they rebuilt the house, they rebuilt these columns to mimic the original, which I found a rather interesting design of column. Here you can see the lanai covered concrete, and then stairs on both ends that go up to little porches. And here you can see the porch. All the windows in this house, unfortunately, have been changed, but I feel the house massing is sufficiently strong that we don't notice the fact that these are now new double hung windows, but they replaced double hungs as well. Two steps up, and then you have the original sliding doors, or at least wood sliding doors, which lead into the living room. Here's the front of the house. The three picture windows, I believe, would have come in the 1946 following the tidal wave when they reconstructed, with picture windows were starting to come in vogue with wood louvers down below for ventilation. Then you can see it's on its post and beer foundation. Here you can get a good view of the columns with these little collars on top, which I found interesting. The main way into the house is from the front lanai. Again, the sliding doors, they have both the original glass and screen doors. And then truss, simple king post trusses for the ceiling in the living room. The interior also has batten on the walls. It is a single wall house, Interesting. While the exterior battens are 3 inches, the interior battens are 2. Here's another view of the living room. And again, you can see the sliding doors going out to little side porches. The kitchen has been totally remodeled. However, it still retains its original wood sliding windows. This double hung is new. And new floors, obviously. The kitchen and the bedroom in the front have an interesting ceiling too. In the way the trusses are formed, where you got intersecting trusses, which I haven't noticed before, but maybe as architects, maybe somebody knows an explanation for that. I assume it's structural in some way, but I'm not sure. It's carrying the hip roof. Then a pocket door from the kitchen leads into a laundry room. And then the laundry room has its original batten door, which leads into a bathroom. Here's the bathroom, and then batten door from the other direction leads into the front bedroom. And again, this door is original door. The bathroom has a screen, essentially ventilation. There's no windows, just this. And this I found very interesting. The mirrors are on hinges and they swing out. So if you want to look at yourself from the side, you can sort of do that. There's no medicine cabinet. Then the bathroom leads into the front bedroom. Again, board and batten walls, new windows, paneled ceiling. And the door, which is a louvered door, leads out to the front lanai. On the other side, again, a louvered door leads into the oceanside bedroom, which again has new windows, has a ceiling similar to the kitchen and board and batten walls. And that has its own bathroom, which has been remodeled. Here's the, again, the intersecting trusses in the roof. And this bathroom, although it's been remodeled, still has the doorway going in from the outside to the shop, from the shop to the shower. Then you have down the hall, past the bedroom, a bathroom, another louvered door, which opens on a third bedroom. The house is very much related to the history of Lanikai. I found this in 1924 when the Trent Trust Company first acquired the property. The property was belonging to Moana Willy Ranch, and this area was known as Ka'uhau. And it was essentially just vacant pasture land. This is a view of Lanikai in 1924. When the announcement was made in March that Trent Trust Company was going to put this on the market as a beach resort, at that time, the closest road was paved road was 3 miles away in Kailua. They started getting offers immediately and they started making sales before they had even surveyed the lots, which I find very interesting. Obviously, sight unseen. The Pinkertons were among the first 20 people to buy lots in Lanikai. And there was 46 ocean lots and they were the first to sell out. This is a nice ad from 1926 for Lanikai, talking about the fact that 5 years ago is now, and it has the husband and wife up here, the husband saying, "I could have bought that 5 years ago for $2,000. The wife reminding him, "Yes, and we only had to put down $200. And so they're reminding people, 5 years ago is now. You can buy in Lanikai for $1,750 a lot and with only $200 down. Here's a view in 1926 with the first houses starting to appear. by 1926, electricity had come to Lanikai. The road, they had negotiated with the city and county, and the city and county built a paved road to Lanikai. And the developers were advertising, not only does it have electricity and water is on its way, they've made a deal with Waimanalo Plantation to acquire water. They said also you could have milk, newspaper, and garbage service in this area. As you can see, here's one of the early houses. The Pinkertons bought lot 21 in 1924. They began work in May 1926 after the road was in and electricity was in. And they were one of the first 25 houses to appear in the emerging community. There are two other early houses in Lanikai, which from the date from the 1920s, both of which I registered and both of which I no longer have pictures of. So I pulled this off Historic Hawaii. They have the old nomination form. This is the McCorriston residence, which is also a beachfront house. And this was built in 1929, so 3 years after the Pinkerton residence. And also Clarence Cook built a beach house, and this is the guest house for his main beach house. His main beach house has been totally gone, wiped out and transmogrified. But this guest house is still intact and is also on the register. I say that the Pinkerton house is one of the oldest, but so far I have not found an older beachfront house in Lanikai. So it's one of the first houses and one of the good tangible remnants of this period. And I think it's very much deserving of being registered. And although the windows have been changed, it essentially retains its integrity otherwise completely, except for the bathroom and kitchen, sorry. Oh, then secondly, the tsunami. The tsunami hit on April 1st, 1946. And the newspapers reported that essentially no beach house between Lanikai and Punalulu did not sustain damage, and many of them were demolished. This is an interesting picture they had from the newspaper, and they talked about that the tidal wave deposited sand, making it look like a layer of snow all over Lanikai. And here's another house, which I suspect is in similar condition to what the Pinkerton house looked. This house gained a boat, which ended up in its living room. I think I've also put in the nomination a report. A man wrote reporting to his hometown in California that he was in his house with his family when the tidal wave struck. And after the first wave washed through, they got out of the house and got to high ground and safety. But they said their house also, the whole front of the house, it was demolished and the roof caved in. So I suspect the Pinkerton house had a similar happening to it. Again, we're nominating the house to both registers at the local level under criteria A and C for its associations with the history of Lanikai and for its architecture as a good example of a beach cottage built in Hawaii during the 1920s. Do you have any questions?
I have one, Don. the balustrade and the, is that an original design as well?
I don't know. The homeowner, the owner now bought the house in, I think, 2001, he said, Katie. It was hit there when he was there. And so we don't know if it was original or not. I do wonder, but it is the same design is in the bathroom vents. And I don't know if they picked up that design in redoing the balustrade or if the balustrade, but the balustrade's in good condition. So it could have possibly been replaced at some point.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting, the U-shape, because, you know, I did the Strode house. It's a U-shape building too. Mm-hmm. And then I just visited in California a couple of the old ranchos there, and they were U-shaped always too. So I'm always wondering if that U-shaped plan really goes back to ranch style in a way, to some degree.
I think so. And I think also it's great for cross ventilation.
Uh-huh. And now to move to my role as pedant, I did a little research on this. And I heard you say pergola, and that apparently is the approved American pronunciation, which surprised me. The English and Italian pronunciation is pergola.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard that too.
And when I was in Venice, I mistakenly said gondola, and the guy got quite angry with me and said, no, it's gondola, not gondola, gondola. So pergola, gondola.
Okay.
Anyway, just to keep us all informed.
Yes, and it's interesting because you learn pronunciation very much in art history classes from professors, but so much of American art history when I was going to school, architect, was not taught. And so terms like this were not ever mentioned. And so it sort of got to guess and sort of look in the dictionary.
I said entasis once. Apparently it's I said entasis, I think. It's entasis.
Yes.
Entasis is correct. But,
yes.
Tomato, tomato. Okay.
That mean we're calling the whole thing off?
Let's not.
Any other questions or comments for Don? Okay, anybody like to make a motion?
I move that the Pinkerton Beach House be placed on the Hawaii State Register of Historic Places, the local level under criteria A and C, and that it be sent on to the National Register for consideration with the owner's approval.
Thank you, Pat.
I'll second.
Thank you, Alton. Okay, any other discussion or questions? Okay, let's take a vote then. Place this on the state register. Looks like it's unanimous. Okay, thank you, Don.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and I think we can we'll do one more before lunch of the Fukuda Seed Company building. And she's with us.
Okay, you took me by surprise. Can you hear me? Yes,
I can hear you. Yep.
All right, I'm gonna share my screen here. Okay, are we good? All right. This is the Fukuda Seed Company building. It is a nomination being submitted by HART as mitigation for the rail project. Also known as the Tamura building or the IHS Tamura building. The Fukuda Seed Building Company building is a low-rise walk-up apartment building with business storefronts on the first floor. Its utilitarian interpretation of early, modern, and international style characteristics are what makes it distinct. The building is located just northwest of downtown on the border of Ivele and the Palama districts. You can see it over there in the corner. And its corner location is one block south of Dillingham Boulevard. The building was built as an investment property with commercial storefronts on the ground floor and apartments above. The developers were Tadao Tomura, subdivision developer and general contractor, and Richard Lam, a physician. The design was by William Chun Ming. He was a structural engineer and president of Century Construction, which began business in 1956. This is a little aside from the nomination, but I thought it was so fascinating that I'm going to give you some information about Mr. Cheng Ming. He and one other soldier from Hawaii were in SACO, S-A-C-O, the Sino-American, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Somebody can correct me. Sino-American Cooperative Organization, which is a cooperative between China and the U.S. against Japan. It was first a weather monitoring organization for the Navy, but it morphed into an intelligence gathering and tactical force that trained and fought with the Chinese soldiers. Nicknamed the Rice Paddy Navy, it was part of the OSS, which was the precursor to the CIA. These units, this Rice Paddy Navy, practiced full immersion with the Chinese army and flowed freely between the borders of China and Japan and ranged from Indochina to the Gobi Desert. The SACO group is considered one of the most effective American combat forces in the war, with target destruction and kill ratios significantly higher than any other combat force in the entire war. And this man right here was one of two Hawaii residents who was in this group. I just thought it was fascinating, and I had never heard of this, so I just wanted to share. Anyway, the building tenants changed over the years, but the Fukuda Seed Store rented the space in the building for at least three decades. The store sold seeds and other gardening supplies to both gardeners and local commercial farmers. Besides the Fukuda store, other ground floor store fronts during the 1960s and early 70s included Club Judy, Club Jade, Laundryland, and Koalo Pickle. Classified ads indicate that the residential apartments were located on the second and third floors. The current occupant of the building is a private company that provides transitional housing and support services for people re-entering the community after completing long-term prison sentences. Company offices occupy some of the first floor storefronts, and housing is on the upper two floors. The descriptions of the building that are to follow are based on exterior street side characteristics only. Access to the property and to the interior of the building were not granted by the owners. The building has a reinforced concrete frame and a CMU exterior walls that are set in a stacked bond pattern. It has a flat roof with a cantilevered concrete canopy at the cornice that extends out about 3 feet. A similar canopy above the first floor storefronts down here extend about 5 feet, and a narrower canopy extends about 1 foot above the second floor windows. The building's rounded V-shaped plan is oriented with its arms, each of which is about 32 feet wide and 140 feet long along Ka'ahi Street and Kahamanu Streets. Its rounded corner is a large arc with a radius of about 65 feet. Enclosed by the arms of the V, the area behind the building is a paved parking lot that is accessed by two open bay passages through the first floor of the building. One is located at the base of the V at the corner of Ka'ahi and Kahamanu Street. And the other is near the end of the east arm on Ka'ahi Street. The passages are each one story high and about 23 feet wide. As you can sort of see through the passage on this picture right here, the rear courtyard and parking area of the building has exterior stairways that access the second and third floors from the parking area, and exterior balcony hallways at the upper floors provide access to the apartments. The first floor storefronts have aluminum framed double doors with large glass panels and jalousie transoms. The storefront windows are large aluminum frame picture windows with jalousie and fixed light transoms. Fenestration on the second and third floor consists of single rows of regularly spaced openings with double sash jalousies. The apartment windows appear as a series of punctuated voids from a distance. Window air conditioners have been added in many of the upper floor jalousie windows and at some of the first floor transoms. But as far as we know, since we couldn't see the interior, those are the only changes since the building was built. The Fukuda Seed Store building is of local significance under Criterion C for its distinctive design and a vernacular low-rise walk-up apartment with built-in storefront, business storefronts. By 1968, when the building was built, the former territory of Hawaii had been the 50th state for nearly 10 years, and Honolulu was being developed at a very fast pace. Statehood had seen a marked increase in commercial construction, increased tourism, bought new hotels, and a swelling population spurred a new residential subdivisions, modest walk-up apartments, and residential high-rises. Quoting the Hawaii Modernism Study, much of Hawaii's architecture in the 50s through the early 70s was not high-end design, but contractor-built for pressing local needs. Stylistically, the mix of modern and international style features became common in post-World War II low-rise commercial buildings in Honolulu because of its widespread commercial applications as well as its economies. And the Fukuda Seed Store building is a good representative of this, with straightforward design and lack of architectural flourishes, but with the added interest of that curved facade. It is an efficient and modest structure that incorporates popularized architectural elements into a utilitarian multi-use investment property, a building form that is becoming increasingly rare across Honolulu cityscape. The building retains good integrity. The only apparent alterations are the installation of the window air conditioning units, like I mentioned, and the replacement of some of the jalousie transoms with fixed. The integrity of setting, feeling, and association are largely intact because the surrounding area is much as it was at the time of the building construction, a relatively dense built-up local road near the busy intersection of King Street and Dillingham Boulevard. It's remained pretty much the same since 1968. And that is it. Thank you. Any questions?
Angie, they were the jalousie windows from the get-go?
Yes.
Angie, I noticed in your sources that there was a HABS report that was done in 2015. Do you know why that was undertaken?
I think that was also part of heart mitigation. The timeline seems to fit.
Yeah. And they didn't get to go inside the building at that time either.
That's my understanding.
It's a bummer.
I know. Don is talking.
Sorry. Yeah, because I was involved with that, and they wouldn't let us inside the building at all because of the nature of the tenants for privacy.
Thanks, Don.
Okay, any other questions for Angie?
Angie, how will this building be affected by HART?
To the best of my knowledge, it won't be. It's just that the rail comes quite close to it along Dillingham. And so the initial study of the APE identified the buildings that were historic that were within a certain distance of the rail. And this is just one of them.
Thanks.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any direct effects.
Right. It's a visual effect.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, the station will be right across the street on Kā'ai Street, and the rail will actually go down Kā'ai Street, not on Dillingham.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's moved away from Dillingham by that point.
Correct. It cuts through there through Kā'ai Street and hits Ala Moana or Nimitz through Kā'ai.
Yeah, I looked for a HART map for this area, because I have put those in some of the other presentations that you'll be seeing. And I couldn't find one that identified this area. It was kind of like a little black void in their maps.
Right. The company I worked for had an office space right across the street that was a big warehouse. And that's going to be now the Evile Station. So it'd be right across the street from this. Yeah.
So definitely a visual effect.
Okay. Any other questions for Angie? Okay, somebody like to make a motion? Angie, can you stop the screen share?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I'll move that we place the Fukuda Seed Store building on the National Register of Historic Places. Does it want to be on the Hawaii Register as well, Angie?
Yes.
Yeah, National Register as well as the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under criterion C.
Thank you, Matt. Any second?
Second.
All seconds. Okay, any further discussion or questions? Okay, let's take a vote then. Place the Fukuda Seed Company building on the Hawaii Register and recommended for national. Looks like that's unanimous.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Angie. Okay. Perhaps this would be a good time to take a quick lunch break, or would everybody like to try to go through one more nomination?
Any votes? You, boss.
Okay, might as well do it now, and then we'll have four more after that. We'll have the Withington residents that was that we were expecting to do today, and then the three others that we're adding in. So let's see, does anybody here like to have more than half an hour? You know, some people might need to leave the building. Does anybody want more than half an hour?
Can we do
it in half an hour?
So back at 12:30?
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay.
Thank you.
See you all at 12:30. Thank you.
$63.09. Okay, let's just do that because I think that sounds pretty close to what they're charging at Costco. Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, Vicki.
Hi, Don. We're taking a lunch break and coming back at 12:30.
Yeah. Got it.
Well, I don't see Alton back yet, but we do have quorum, so maybe we can go ahead and get started. Go ahead, Don.
Okay. And the next house is the Henry Resterick and Eleanor Withington residence, which is at 3060 Holley Street, which is at the foot of Diamond Head. And again, we're nominating this house at the local level under criterion C as an excellent early example of a modern style house built in Honolulu in the late 1930s. The year built was 1938, and the architect was Albert Ely Ives, and it's in a modern style. And it's one of the earliest examples of a international style house in Hawaii. Here's a view of the house. This is a house I'm not familiar with at all. This will be the nicest view you see because when we were there in January, it was raining, but the owners took this after they cleared off the front so you could see the house from the road. As you can see, very much modern style house, concrete, flat roof. You have a pergola over here, which connects to the garage, which is here. Here's a view of what you see from the street. Here's where we looked before, and after I was there, they cleared all this out. But essentially had a two-car garage, and then you go up this walkway and come to this gate, which the metal is definitely not original. I'm not sure about the gate itself, which has this corbelled look. From the gate, you walk towards the house along the side of the garage. It's coral block pavers down here, which lead to the house. The house is single-story house, as I said, in an international style, very early. Has very nice corner sliding doors. This is the entryway, which unfortunately the owners could not save, so they replaced it with another one with four horizontal panes, and they also had to replace this door. These doors were in terrible shape and didn't operate, and they were able to restore these doors. The people are very dedicated to the house as far as keeping it as it is and making a lot of restoration work. As you can see, pipe columns support the roof of the lanai. Here is the pergola that goes out here. This is a bougainvillea, which is actually grown around a pipe column. You can see it's totally engulfed it. Here's the back of the garage. Here's the pergola. The lanai in front, and then a little patio over here. Here's another view showing you the garage with the bright orange door. When you go in the front door, you enter into the living room. The living room is a fairly large space, dominated at this end by a fireplace and these sliding doors, which essentially form corner windows that open completely from floor to ceiling. Again, horizontal panes, which very much in the period. The fireplace itself is a very simple fireplace. You have some coral stone as a hearth in front and a very simple wood mantle, which I do not think is original. The chimney for the fireplace outside is very modern in style, fluting going up it. And you can see the windows on either side, the doors. And here you can see the sliding doors on one side. And this is looking out onto a side lanai. The side lanai has no roof, just defined by this beam and pipe columns holding it up. There's two rooms that open out onto the lanai. This is a bedroom down here with corner windows. This is a study and the other one is a bedroom. Again, this house has oak floors. We're not sure if they're original or not. Here you can see that side lanai, which also has coral block paving. Here's the corner window for the bedroom. Here's another view of the living room looking from one of the corner sliding doors, looking across. Here is the office room, and here is an entryway that goes into the dining room and bedroom wing. Here is the sliding doors looking out on the side lanai. Here's the office. Here's the dining room. The office, and we're looking from the inside now towards the living room, has a pocket door and has a set of sliding doors with screens with original hardware that open onto the side lanai. It has a very interesting tray ceiling, which you can make out here. And has 12-inch, actually I think it's longer than modest 12-inch wide tongue groove with molding in between the joints, and also a wainscot underneath. Here you can get a closer look at the molding in between the joints and also see the detailing in the wainscot. And here's even a closer view, which you can see more clearly. The pocket door also has molding similar to the walls. Ive is known for his meticulous detailing. This is just one example of that. Again, here you can see going out the sliding doors. And again, doors full height, floor to ceiling. The other opening that leads into the dining room has a pocket shoji door. And that opens up into the dining area space and what you can call a hallway, I suppose, which leads to bedroom wings. There's two doors there and a closet in the middle. Sorry, Katie, I forgot to show you the closet when they're there. This, again, sliding doors. This is just a wall of glass windows, sliding doors here that open on the deck, and also sliding doors here that open on the deck. Here's the dining area. Very light, very airy. And looking the other way, here's the living room. And here's the kitchen, which has been totally remodeled, but I don't think it intrudes in any way on the historic character. It does keep its original awning windows. Here's a view from the kitchen out to the dining room, to the deck beyond. In the hallway, this is the closet I forgot to show you, Katie. It has nice shelves and also has built-in shelves, which are closed. And these look originally as initially as drawers that pull out, but really they're doors that open down to reveal the inside. Here we are back at the dining. The deck, there originally was a deck here, but it has been totally rebuilt. So it's modern, but again, you do not view it from the street. And again, it makes sense because it originally was here and otherwise the doors would open into nothing. Here you can see the wall of glass. Here's sliding windows over here. The steps from the deck lead down to the backyard. Very nice, modern, curved hood over the all windows, a very big variegated pandanus. And here's the other view. You have a lava rock wall here with creeping fig on it, a large plumeria in the corner. And in the other corner is a mango tree. The side yard, or I guess that actually be the backyard, where the mango tree is, then steps leading up this wall to the side yard on this side, which then goes out towards the entrance. When I was here, this window was boarded up. Since then, the owners have restored it. And here's the hallway going down. This goes into one bedroom. Here's the closet I showed you, and then there's another opening that goes into the other bedrooms. Here's the first bedroom that it leads into. And this bedroom goes right out to the side lanai, also with floor to ceiling, sliding doors, sliding screens, all original. Here you can see them. This is the same bedroom. Here's the doll. Here's the main hall. Then from this bedroom, there's a pocket door that leads down to a hallway, closets along the hallway. Oh, here, showing you the pump, the door, this door. And here's the hallway, which leads down to the master bedroom and another bedroom over on this side. This hallway goes back out to the main hallway with the glass wall. I'm sorry, it wasn't a pocket door too. It is a hinge door. The sliding doors are nice. It's hard to see from this photo, but they are scored. I think you can see the scoring in this one a little bit. It's a very subtle scoring. Here you can see it up here quite well, but into small squares. The back of the door to the bedroom has a mirror. All the original hardware, the owners actually took all this hardware apart and made it functional again. Here's the bathroom, which has been remodeled, although it has an awning window up here, which it kept. Here's the original hardware for the bathroom. Here's the second child's bedroom. Looking in, you can see the corner windows that I showed you before from the outside. And again, Ives was very meticulous. He has a pipe column here. And in order to get the windows fit, he has them beveled so that they both can close tightly together. And again, the original hardware on the door to the bedroom. Here's the master bedroom. This one has a teak floor, which probably was put in the 60s. Sliding windows here, and then also sliding windows here. You can see the plywood's still up in my picture, but now the plywood's gone, and these windows are now totally functional. And then built in here, which is new, which leads into a bathroom, which has also been remodeled. Looks like this. The glass block window here is not original to the house, but it was, the owners think it was probably put in the 50s when a French lady owned the house. Here's that window from the outside. The kitchen is here. There's a little back stair, and the stair goes down. And then underneath, this is an addition that I put on the house, small. And this goes into the basement, which is now a play area for the children. It has scored concrete floor. The house is one of the earliest examples of an international style home being built in Hawaii. I think very well, Connie Conrad talked about the modern style and talked about amid the highly localized architectural character already established in Hawaii due to prevailing semi-tropical weather conditions and the friendly association of interiors to gardens and views, many new impulses have become evident. A great freedom in window arrangements have been indulged in, corner-wise and grouped. Wall spaces and their relationships to windows, doors, and furnishings have affected interior and exterior designs materially, inasmuch as some walls have become completely a unit of glass, which you saw in the dining room area, uniting the interior to the garden and to the view beyond, while others remain unbroken, creating a most effective background for modern furniture. I think the house very much epitomizes this definition. And here you see a rendering that appeared in the newspaper by Ives. And you can see here is the garage, the pergola, and the main house. And so very much retains its historic character, very much intact. Withington was the son of Dr. Withington and Eleanor. Dr. Withington's wife was the daughter of the Archbishop of Honolulu, the Episcopal Archbishop, named Henry Resterich. And so this grandson got his name from his grandfather. Here's a view in 1941. This is the house Albert Ely Ives designed for himself. And you can see very much in a modern style. And I find the newspaper's commentary very interesting, saying this must be good architecture. And then it says, it's his own, Albert Ely Ives, one of the community's most distinguished architects, designed and built his home for himself and family. Yes, this clean modern structure is what the modern architect apparently considers some pumpkin in the way of a home. It would seem he's got something there. So that was the commentary in the newspaper on the new international style coming in housing. Ives, in this, also in 1941, built this home for Alice Spaulding Bone, who ran Gumps. This is also on Diamond Head. And next week, I'm going to go look at another Ives house, which looks like it might be in an international style as well. I'll have to report on that after I see it. He also designed this more modest home in Kahala on Alki Street, but again, following fairly modern lines, but now starting to use the hip roof, which he'll continue in this house on Cocoa Head, also from 1940. And this house, which Bill saw, I'm sorry, Nancy's not here to look at this Ives house. She's quite excited now. And this house was also, this is in Kaneohe, very much with the hip roof. And of course, last time the review board placed this Ives home on the register also, which is very low, very modern, very much Hawaiian roof style. And in the 1950s, Ives will design other homes. This one's for Mrs. Johnson, which is also on the register. And this one has just an immaculate Asian interior. He'll also go on to design the home in Mexico for Barbara Hutton, which will also be in an Asian style. So we'll be nominating, both registers at the local letter. I made a mistake. It's only under criteria C. Sorry about that. So criterion C for architecture. And that's the end of the show.
This one is second one. Don said the house over in Kaneohe is really impressive. And yet it seems really regionalist, you know. It's sort of like, reminds me of Osipov in the late 50s, going back to regionalism instead of the kind of more modern stuff he'd been experimenting with.
Yeah, it seemed like he started to go more regional. He was a very famous, popular East Coast architect. He designed a number of very big mansions, always in the academic style. His best known one is Winterthur Museum. And then in 1937, he married Kinau Wilder from the Wilder family here in Honolulu. And in February of 37, Ives moved out here to Honolulu. And eventually he and Kinau got divorced, but he stayed in Hawaii and lived out the rest of his life here. But his houses are very meticulous. And this is one of the earliest international style houses.
I know when I was doing a slideshow on architectural style, I actually couldn't find an international style house. And now there is, I have one.
Yes. Yeah, I was fortunate to see that really nice house. I really liked how all of the doors in the interior would go from the floor all the way to the ceiling. Just, you know, the doors were quite large, but it was nice and helped to provide a lot of that interior light even between the rooms. It's really nice. And definitely the owners really seemed to appreciate that house, which was great. Okay, any other questions for Don? Oh, did we lose Pat? Oh, okay, she's there. Okay, and anybody like to make a motion?
I'd like to do one for a change. I'd like to.
Thanks, Bill.
I haven't done one today, have I? Maybe I did one. But I'd like to nominate the, not nominate, I'd like to advocate, what do we say now?
You move.
Move to list the HR and Eleanor Withington Witt residents on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under criterion C. And Donna, do you want to get listed at the National Register?
Fine, you can do as well.
Okay, yes. So I'll just leave it open to recommending its listing in the National Register of Historic Places under the same criterion.
Thanks, Bill. Any second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Okay, any other discussion, questions?
Okay,
like to take a vote, please. All in favor of placing the Withington residents on the state register and recommending to national. Okay, looks like it's unanimous.
Thank you okay. very much.
Thank you, Don. Okay, and I guess we can move right on to the Osorio residents.
Just waiting for the computer to catch up. This home is another one of my favorite houses in Honolulu, which I was, again, very happy the owner asked that we register it. Okay, for some reason it won't let me do my little red thing, so you'll have to put up with this little white arrow. This is a Dr. Vasco E.M. and Marion Osorio residence. And it's at 3153 Huilani Place in Manoa Valley. It's on the other side of the valley, up on the hillside. And it's significant at the local level under criterion C as a good example of a Mediterranean revival style house built in Honolulu during the late 1920s. It was built in 1929. The architect was Robert Miller, and it's done in the Mediterranean revival style. The house is a stucco house, single story, but with a raised foundation at the far end, again, following the slope of the land. It has a black tile roof, which is actually an Asian style tile. I don't know if it's original to the house, but I did find in the newspapers that the original roof was black tile. So if it's not original, which there's a good chance it's not, being almost 100 years old, that it is at least was the owner replaced it with a black tile roof as well. The windows are not original in the house. There's only two original windows left. All the windows have been replaced with bronze anodized awning windows, but again, the massing is very strong on this house. The house is very imposing, good size. And I don't think the windows, well, this isn't even a window, this is an opening. The windows, I don't think, detract from the historic character of the house at all. They do have the original hoods, which are rather interesting because the windows, as you can see, are inset. And these hoods actually are wood, almost look like metal. And just, they're flush with the wall. There's a detached garage over here. Here you can see the tile that's on the roof now. Here's another view looking down. Here's the driveway. From the driveway, you go up these stairs to a sidewalk and then up the stairs to the front door. Here you can see the stairway going up. Fortunately, when I went to the house, they were having some workers there that day. So you see the workers stuff hanging around. Here's the little entry porch. Again, segmental arch here, the square arch space here, looking out, looking up Manoa Valley. That's interesting in that they have an iron gate, which is in front of the door, well, around 5 feet in front of the door, and then your front door, and then a screen, masonry screened window behind this. I'm sorry, here's the other side of the gate. The workers had all stuff over here, just made an ugly picture. The front door opens. The front door, as you can see, is original as well, has its little keep window, has thumb latch, which is so popular with Mediterranean and Tudor Revival style houses. You can see the ceiling also with exposed beams. Then it opens into a foyer. Here's the door again. Then the foyer has openings on all three sides. This opening with a grill, which is similar to the one outside, but different pattern inside, but the same grill work on the sides to create an echo, looks down into a lower level side lanai. You have tile floors, it's also tile baseboards. This side goes to the living room, this side goes to the dining room. And you have nice timbered beams above to frame the space, the openings. Also, the foyer has a groin vault ceiling, and here's an original light in that wrought iron in the ceiling. Here is the living room, which is quite impressive. You can see these open beams with king posts, a fireplace on this side. Again, the tile floor, tile baseboard, a pair of double doors here, which lead out to a balcony, candle sconces on the wall. Here is the doors that lead out to the balcony, which are all original hardware. And here's a view from the driveway looking up, and you can see the balcony, and underneath is another little lanai sitting area. The balcony also has a masonry screen in it. Here's the ceiling of the living room. You can see a little more of the detail work in it. When Katie and I went out, the owner was telling me they were just starting to work on it when I was there, but they had to end up putting reinforcing rods in the beams because of the termite damage. Here's the fireplace on the far wall, which is made out of cast stone with a tile surround down below. This door window rather is framed totally in heavy timbering. Here you can see the tile work on the fireplace. And also you see this nice little sunburst along on the baseboard, break up the baseboard. Here's looking from the balcony doors back out. Here's the foyer, three steps down to the living room. Here's the dining room on the other side. Here's a set of spindle gates that go into the lanai area. And again, you can see the original sconces. Here you get a closer view of those sconces. From the foyer in the other direction, you go into the dining room. The dining room has pocket doors. This is going out towards the foyer. Here's one of the workers working after we left. Again, spindle gateways, which go down to the lanai. Essentially, the house can be exceedingly open because the foyer opens up everything. And so the breeze can just go completely through if you have the front door open and just have the iron gates closed. Again, same tile floor, same floorboards in the dining room. At the far end of the, down this hall wall, there's a door that goes into the kitchen. The kitchen's been totally remodeled. There is a back door that goes out to the side yard. Here you can see that side yard. The sidewalk runs all around the house. This door is not original. Here's the ceiling in the dining room. And it's interesting, they have this little sort of niche demarcated by these two wrought iron dragons, I suppose. And I'm not sure what the function of this niche was. The windows are here. Here you can see a close-up on those dragons. And you can see they changed the ceiling into a coffered ceiling. So they're obviously were distinguishing this space, but I'm not sure what for. And here in that space are windows on either side with the masonry grill. And these are the only two original windows that are left in the house. Steps going down from the dining room into the what was an open lanai area. You can see the wrought iron railing, rather nice one, goes down. Three steps, corner steps going down to the lanai. The lanai also has a tile floor and has a different sunburst pattern down here on the baseboard. And again, it has a open beam ceiling with consoles sculpted in, very handsome. And unfortunately, they have enclosed this lanai, but it's, I think, fairly transparent. They did the best they could. That the present owners was before them that it was done, but they said the rain just beats against these windows all the time, so they see why the owners did that. The original railing is still here, however. And here you can see the original railing, which has this twisted pattern in it. And it has this little ornate connection to the wall. So the lanai leads into the bedroom wing. And again, spindle gates provide access to that. And there's also another spindled gate on the inside, which can secure it. So if at night, if you want, because this would have been an open lanai, you can secure your bedroom wing with this spindled gate, which looks like this, which also has its original hardware. When you go into the gate, you can sort of see it on this. There's an interesting paint they're using on this. I think I may have a closer view of it, but it's sort of a patinaing, and it's rather handsome. Here is the hallway for the bedroom. Right, I'm taking this from that gate. It has an original light fixture above wrought iron. And you have one bedroom, two bedrooms, three bedrooms. Right over here is going to be a bathroom. Here's that gate. Here's the bathroom. The bathroom door is typical of all the doors in the bedrooms. They have a plank door with thumb latch. The bathroom has been remodeled. Now here you can see sort of the painting model look that the doors have. This is the door to one of the bedrooms. Here's the master bedroom. Again, Ohia floors throughout the bedroom wing. Here is an oriel window, and I call it an oriel window, Bill, in this case. And looking back from the oriel window, you can see here's the entry into the room. Here is a closet. And then here's a door that goes into the bedroom, or rather bathroom, that wraps around and goes out into the hall as well. Here you can see that bathroom with its original door. It has a segmental arch over the bathtub, which is new. All the fixtures are new, the floor is new. And you can see it going back out to the hall. This is the second bedroom. And again, Ohia floors. Did I skip a slide? Oh yeah, here looking into that bedroom. It has windows on two sides, cross ventilation. This door opens on a closet. This door opens on a bathroom. The closet is cedar lined in this room. There's a mirror on the back of the door. And then this is the third bedroom. And again, has cross ventilation, two sets of windows. And again, it opens into the same bathroom as the other bedroom did. And again, this door goes back out to the hall. The steps going down from the lanai lead to a courtyard area. This house is also part of the property, but it's far back. Here's the garage to the house we're nominating. This one is far back and lower, and it doesn't intrude on the house in any way, as far as I can tell. At first, I thought it was a neighboring house till the owner told me, no, that's part of our property. And here's ground level. Looking back at the house, here's the living room, the balcony, a little lanai under here. Here's the garage. Again, masonry screened, the steps going down. This door leads into a storage area. And there's sidewalk going across and coming out the corner of the courtyard. And there's also a door here, which opens on storage as well. And these two storage areas actually connect. I'll show you that. Here is the storage area underneath the steps. You can see the stone masonry foundation, big timbers for the framing. And then there's a door in that space, which leads down to the lower space. And this is taken from that other full door. And again, concrete floor, stone walls. And here you can see there's a masonry screen here as well. And you can see the back of the stucco on lath walls. Here's the garage. There in this corner of the courtyard, there was an old water feature, which you can see, which has stones embedded in the concrete walkway around it. And this would have been some sort of fish pond, I imagine. And then going back, there's a gate right here, which provides access out. Here's the oriel window. Here's a close-up on that. Again, very detailed woodworking in the window. Here you can see that gateway. And that gate goes out. And again, sidewalk, there's steps here that go around, connect to the sidewalk. This door goes into what would have been originally a servant's quarters. Here you can see that elevation. And you can't see the doorway. The doorway is next. No, this is the doorway. There's a little wall here. Here's the doorway, windows on either side. And the servants' quarters is being used as a laundry room here, scored concrete floor. Looking the other way, here is the old ironing board, but built in, but the board's no longer there. This door goes into where the maid would have lived. Here you can see it open and empty. And then again, plank doors. Here's the door that goes back out to the laundry area, a closet, and a bathroom. And again, all TNG. Here's the bathroom, which has been remodeled. Robert Miller is known for his Spanish style buildings, Mediterranean style buildings. Several of them are listed on the register. This is the Botley residence, which is on the foot of Diamond Head. I like Miller's rendering style very much. Here's another one. This was a Swan residence. We just put that on the register a couple years ago. You probably may remember it. And again, using the masonry screen, stucco, tile roof. And this is the Mendonca residence, which I registered when I was working with the state. So again, I don't have any new photos and it's not really accessible now. So this was taken from the National Register nomination form. But again, in a mission Mediterranean style. He also did both the Kalihi and Kaimuki fire stations, Spanish mission style. He was the primary architect on Honolulu Holly as far as making it a mission style building, I believe. Art Wood and Dickey did a lot of the detail work, and Lester Rothwell did most of the engineering. Here is the house, the Osorio residence, as you can see, pretty much just as design, the garage, your balcony with a lanai underneath, fire chimney, steps going up, your dining room wing. And they even published in the newspaper another rendering that Miller did showing the backside of the house with the oriel window, the courtyard area. This land over here also is all part of the property, but it's not finished like the interior. It's left to grow more wild, although they keep the trim. So again, a very, very good house. And I was really happy that the owners came forward and wanted to register it. And we're nominating it to both registers at the local level under Criterion C. That's it.
Any questions for Don? I thought this was a fabulous house. I remember seeing it when it came up for sale, and my husband said, "Oh no, you probably want this house, don't you?" But I just think it's really nice. It's amazing to see that it cost $17,000 to build it, but that was a long time ago. But it's really interesting and different. A lot of details. I really haven't seen much of that kind of architecture in Hawaii. Really quite intact. Okay, if no questions for Don, does somebody want to make a motion?
Yeah. So, thanks, Don, you think there were cloth awnings where the metal awnings are now?
No, I suspect that the metal awnings are not new, but they're not original, obviously. And I suspect back in the 20s, they would not have had cloth awnings on them.
No, in the 20s, they did have a lot of that. Having come from California, where I saw all these Spanish colonial houses, they have cloth awnings with the kind of spearheads on them. The other one was the windows were all casement originally. Is that your guess?
Yes, they were casement originally.
And it looks like from that other house also had a black tile roof, but it looks like it was a barrel tile. So I'm suspecting maybe it would have looked like that once, you think?
Which house?
The first one you showed that had a... You said the first of his other houses, I think.
Oh, the Swan residence. Yeah, that was barrel. Yes.
So, yeah, I was always wondering. I wondered a little bit about the shiny black tile, but I think it captures the feeling of it and all. So, well, I told you I did a little research on the... Osorios, and he seems to have been one of the sons of Juan Osorio, one of the first of Madeira. Was that from Madeira? The first Osorios from Madeira, who was a merchant in Hilo.
So. Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have also mentioned, yes, the father for a while was the Portuguese consul in Hawaii. Dr. Osorio was born in Honolulu. He went to medical school on the mainland and then was drafted into the military for World War I, and he served in the medical corps in France at Verdun. So I'm sure he saw a lot of casualties. After the war, he moved to Hilo and opened an office there. And his classmate married Osorio's brother, or sister, excuse me. And so he was in practice with his brother-in-law in Hilo for a number of years. Then in 1924, he came to Honolulu. And in, I thought it was rather romantic. In 1928, he was returning, or 27 rather, returning to Hawaii from a mainland trip. And he met a young lady on the boat. And 3 months later, they were married. Mm. And then a month later, they purchased that land and built the house on it. And they were married on New Year's Eve, 1928.
I thought it was interesting that the father, Juan, was the first Hawaii resident from
Madeira,
I guess. And also that it's interesting that he was in the Honolulu, according to the men of Hawaii, he was in the Honolulu Rifles as well. So,
okay.
I wonder if John Osorio knows that about it.
Oh, really?
Would that be his great-grandfather?
Yes.
Just an interesting little how history takes sudden turns.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to recommend listing of the Osorio House on the state in the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under Criterion C. And let's just see, right, Don?
Yes.
And that we recommend that recommend that it be nominated to the National Register of Historic Places.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Any second? Dave. Thanks, Matt. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, all in favor of placing this on the Historic State Register? Recommending for national. Okay, looks like it's unanimous. Thank you, Don.
Thank you very much.
And moving on to the Raccoon residents.
Okay, the Raccoon Residence is another house that I've had my eye on for many years. It sits again on the other side of Manoa Valley at 2874 Kamaya Place. And nominating it at the local level under Criterion C as a good example of a Hawaii regional style house built in Honolulu during the late 1920s. And this one was designed by Hart Wood. The year built was 1929. As I said, Hart Wood was the architect. And again, I'm calling this a Hawaii regional style house. Here is the house. It's quite distinct. You have concrete walls on the first floor, which you can see the formwork, and then lava rock second floor. I found out when I was doing research on Hart Wood that his intention was that this ground floor was to be covered in vines. So it was going to be a sort of a stone house emerging out of the mountainside. But obviously that experiment didn't work. I suspect he may have gotten the idea when he was in San Francisco. He worked on the 1915 World's Fair there. And John McLaren was a landscape designer of some known. Built a wall of ice plant. And so, and Wood helped him with that. Wood designed the structural part, and then McLaren put the plants on it. So I suspect that's what Wood was thinking about. But unfortunately, it didn't work for him. Again, this house is almost completely intact. The only major change is that they have a covered lanai, which I don't feel detracts from the overall character of the house. It runs here and it runs across the back. And they had to replace the front bay window with anodized bronze aluminum. And the front door has been replaced. Both of these caused by too much weather in Manoa. All the other windows are original though. The house is sitting up on a hillside. This whole property is part of the house. This was rebuilt in the 90s, so it's a non-contributing cottage. It's actually a garage and cottage. You climb up the driveway, and there's a garage here. And on the side over here, there's steps that go up. You can see the house sits on a very large concrete base. The railing up here is not original. Originally, there was no railing. Spencer went up to the house one day and told the owner that you might want to put a railing there. Here you can see the terrace on top, the front door, which has its round arch, which has these pilasters on either side and a keystone. Then here's the bay window sticking out. And here you can see the formwork in the concrete. Here's the view from the terrace. We overlook Manoa Valley, Diamond Head in the distance. Here's the new front door. The owners kept the original form, which was a large door with a transom above and round arch. So they conformed with the original design, although this is not the same as the original. Here you can see the door from the inside. It opens onto a little foyer. There's a casement window here with six panes, which is original, and a light that hangs from the ceiling, which you can see here, and the etched glass in the light, which was a popular style. I've seen this pattern several times. Looking the other way from the foyer, the foyer leads into a hallway, a stair hall, and a round arch here that leads into the living room. Again, Hartwood likes to add artistic touches. The floor is acid stained concrete. And it's interesting, in the foyer, has it scored in large rectangles. In the living room, you transition right away. The floor tells you you're in a new space and has small squares. He also has this nice marble statue on a column with a light sitting at the end of the stairway. This hallway goes out to the back. There's one bathroom here. Here you can see the stairway. He has spindle balusters, a nice little finish to the rail. Here's another view of those balusters. And here's a view looking back the other way towards the entryway. And you can see there's a storage space underneath the stairs. Here's a close-up of that little door. Here's the hall. This is the back door, which is still original, has its original handle. Again, casement windows here, and the bathroom is here. Here's the view of the back door, and which leads out onto the new lanai. Here's the door into the bathroom. Again, single panel doors, which is original, same with the original hardware. The bathroom has been redone, but I think probably in the 50s or 60s. Here's the archway that leads into the living room. And here's the view from that archway into the living room. You have essentially a two-story space with a mezzanine here, These doors lead out to the side lanai. This is a rear lanai, which is original. And here's the door to the kitchen. From the mezzanine looking down, here's the large bay window, which provides illumination into the living room. And here's the fireplace again. And here it is from ground level. And here's the bottom of the mezzanine. The fireplace I found rather interesting. The hearth, rather than elevated, he put a little curving around to elevate the fireplace to hold any fire out of the living room. Has its original wood mantle above. Then past the fireplace, here is doors that lead out to the side yard and door into the kitchen. The side yard doors, like almost all the doors in the house, has its original hardware. And it leads outside to a little sitting area and the steps that go down to the garage area. Again, original casement windows here. Here is the stairs that go down to the lower level garage on the side yard here. This is all new. This, again, they built it to protect against Manoa rain. And again, I don't think it detracts from the house. It's not really visible. It's on the side that's away from the street. Inside, here's the mezzanine, kitchen, lanai. The kitchen, these are all new cabinets. By new, I mean they're from the 60s. Back door going out. Very nice acid-stained concrete in the kitchen, which you usually do not see. Here you can get a better view. It's a greenish color. The original kitchen door on here. A pantry with a pocket door. Original sink still. And again, casement windows that go outside that are all original. Here's another view of that sink. And here you can see the five panel pocket door. Interestingly enough, I was wondering about this little china cabinet, and the owner said, that's where the ironing board used to be. And the board was gone, so we'll make it into a little storage area. Here you can see this acid stain. It doesn't really show well, but it does have a luster to it. And here's the back door for the kitchen. It has its original door, original screen door as well. This is the original lanai here, inset into the house. It has the same acid stain concrete floor as the living room. Has sliding doors. As far as I know, the earliest exterior sliding doors I found were by Hartwood. And he introduced that in the Morgan House in 1924. So here he's using them again. And he has a little round arch niche in the side wall. And he likes that also. He used that in the Morgan House and several other houses as well. It's a decorative feature. And you have the original inverted pyramid light fixture still is there and on the lanai. The lanai now looks out onto another lanai, which is covered. There is an original water feature here that you have koi in here. It's a small fish pond. All this paving is all new. But the stone walls are original. And then they terrace up the side of the hill. And as you can see, here's the addition. They've added this lanai. And it becomes a very comfortable space. And again, it's in the rear. I don't think it detracts from the home at all and its overall character. The home is just so strong and just all the original details that it's very historic feeling. here you can see looking back, here's the door that goes into the hallway, and here's the original one eye. Going back to the stairs, these stairs are straight run, they go up to the mezzanine. And again, at the top of the stairs, Hartwood has another niche with a round arch, and then the doorway that leads into the mezzanine. The mezzanine essentially is used as an office space now. However, he's incorporated quite a bit of storage. Over here is a room, and behind this wall is also a closet. Here you can see this, they call this the trunk room because the Raccoons used to keep all their trunks for traveling in here. Here you can just see inside. And here is the storage, this is the trunk room. Essentially, they're still using it for storage. And then here's looking back out towards the stairway. There's a stairway right here. You can see a window which has stairway going up to the upstairs. Here is behind that door, here's the door to that closet. Again, another casement window. Here's the stairs, two steps up, make a left, another original window in this landing. And then you go up to the second floor. And again, the spindles continue all the way, and another original casement up on top. Here's the top of the stair. You have 4 bedrooms and 1 bath upstairs. And it's very interesting. Hartwood included screen windows, or rather screen doors, for all the bedrooms. So you have a solid door and then a screen door, which I associate more with 19th century, early 20th century. By 29, this would be very retrograde. But I think Hartwood thought it was a very interesting, obviously a very comfortable feature for houses in Hawaii. Here is that room, which they sort of use as an office storeroom. Casement windows, giving cross ventilation again. The closet has a window also for ventilation. And here's looking out from that bedroom into the hallway, which is an L-shaped hallway. Again, a second bedroom here, again with its screen door. Above here, there's, oops,